Is God faithful? Yes. And you know, I just felt that word kind of stirring in me as we were worshiping about His faithfulness, His goodness. It's the word says that it's His goodness that leads men to repentance, you know? And as we taste and see that He is good, over time we come to realize that He is absolutely trustworthy. He is absolutely faithful in our lives. Trish and I are going through some struggles right now, obviously with my health. Just had a minor heart attack about a month ago, so dealing with that, dealing with some financial struggles, and so we're kind of going through some stuff right now. But we are intentional about reminding ourselves of the goodness of God, of the faithfulness of God. We look back over our lives. We've been married 22 years, and I can tell you, there's been tough times and struggles in the past, and God has always come through each time. Was it the way that I thought He would do it? Not always. Not always. Sometimes it was vastly different, trust me, than how I thought things would go. But He's faithful. He's trustworthy. He's good to His word. Amen? And so maybe there are some among us this morning that are going through it as well. I feel you. And I just want to remind you of the faithfulness and the trustworthiness of our good, good Father. Amen? Amen. I had a conversation this past week. And the person that I was speaking with used this word, vulnerable. And it's like the Lord just highlighted that word and began to speak to my heart about being vulnerable. And I want to share about being vulnerable this morning. And, you know, typically, we kind of think of that word maybe in a couple different ways. I remember years ago, I had a friend who was kind of going through some rough stuff in his life, and I invited him to a men's little Saturday morning thing that we had. I think it was down in Gettysburg. And Pastor Chris Ball, the president of Elam Fellowship, came down and he was speaking and ministering at that Saturday morning thing. And Chris just like opened up to us and started sharing some very personal and private struggles that he had had throughout his marriage. I mean, stuff that, I think to a man, like jaws like hit the ground, like, did he just say that? Like, did he just share that? He was being very vulnerable, very open with us, right? Because you share information like that with some folks, and it can kind of turn on you, right? They can kind of use it against you. And so that's one way that we think about being vulnerable, right? Another way we think about being vulnerable is like, and it kind of is along the same lines, like if we have a weakness and we put ourselves in a position where that weakness could be exploited. Let me give you an example. Say a recovering alcoholic is kind of early on in the recovery process, right? And they're not feeling very strong to resist temptation. And they make the decision to go into a bar. They have suddenly put themselves in a vulnerable position, right? Because it's so much easier to get a drink in a bar than it would be in church on a Sunday morning, right? Right? Hopefully, yeah. Unless God's pouring out the new wine and then we might all get drunk in the Spirit, right? I'm good with that. I'm good with that. You with me? Yeah. But if the recovering alcoholic decides to go into the bar, they have now put themselves in a vulnerable place. Because that weakness that they still have towards alcohol could be exploited, you know? And so we think of vulnerable kind of in those terms. And the way that the Lord was speaking vulnerable to me was just a little bit different than both of those. So again, vulnerable, the dictionary definitions are susceptible to physical harm or damage, susceptible to emotional injury and being easily hurt, susceptible to attack. You know, like if an army makes a poor decision, they can kind of leave their back door open, so to speak, to attack from the enemy. And they can become vulnerable through the decisions that they make. And so we've been talking about this word susceptible in these definitions. Susceptible means likely or liable to be influenced or harmed by a particular thing. So again, these dictionary definitions kind of have a negative connotation to them, right? There's this weakness which could be exploited, which could result in some really bad stuff and some harm to us, right? And that's not exactly how the Lord was speaking this to me. The Lord just kind of flipped it in my mind. And sometimes He will absolutely do that. I remember years ago, the Lord spoke to me about Him wanting to bring a tsunami of His love. A tsunami of His love. Now, in our natural minds, when we think of the word tsunami, do we think that's a great thing that we can't wait for it to happen? No, we think absolutely the opposite, right? We think tsunami, sound the alarms, evacuate the place, clear out. There's some bad stuff that's going to happen, right? People are going to be injured. People might lose their lives, right? But in the context of what He was speaking to me, He wanted to bring a tsunami of His love. Something that wouldn't devastate or destroy us, but something that would actually do the opposite. That would encourage us. That would build us up. A tsunami of His perfect love that casts out all fear. That kind of tsunami we all want to be a part of. Right? We all want to experience the tidal wave of His love that just inundates us. Amen? And I felt like the Lord was doing something similar with this word vulnerable with me. In the sense that He wants us to be vulnerable to His presence. He wants us to be susceptible to His presence. Does that make sense? I can tell you, when my wife walks in the room and we make eye contact, if she smiles at me, what do I do back? I smile back. If she waves at me, what do? I wave, I respond to what she initiates. Why? Because I am vulnerable to my wife's love. I am susceptible to her love, right? If my wife comes up towards me and begins to engage me in conversation, I don't pull out my phone and start, you know, texting my golf buddy. Sorry, Van. Okay. Van's my golf buddy. I would do that later, but not when my wife is trying to have a conversation with me. When my wife walks towards me, comes near me, and says, "How are you doing?" I engage her in conversation. Again, why? Because I am susceptible to my wife's presence. I am vulnerable to her love. Now, what if my wife takes it a step further and she leans into me and she embraces me in this loving hug? Do I pull away? Do I resist her? Not at all. I do the opposite. I lean into her. And I give her my embrace. I give her my love. I give her my heart. Because I am susceptible to her love. I am vulnerable to her presence, to her love. And I feel like that's the idea that the Lord was speaking to me that I'm supposed to share with us this morning. Are we those that are vulnerable and susceptible to His love? Because at any time throughout that process, I can disengage with my wife, right? She walks in the room and I can glance over and see her and she's smiling and waving at me, and I can make the choice to just look away and put my attention elsewhere. Or I can choose to give her my attention. She walks and comes towards me and wants to engage me in conversation. I can choose to pull my phone out and look at Facebook and ignore her. Or, because I'm vulnerable and susceptible to her, I choose to give her my focus. I choose to engage her in conversation. And again, she leans into me to embrace me. I can choose to resist. But I don't, because I'm vulnerable to her love. You could say, I'm weak. That weakness is in me. I yield to her love. I have that weakness, you could almost say. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not a weakness. It's actually a strength, right? It's actually a strength. It's actually something that helps bring better connection in our marriage. And that's how it is with the Lord. When His presence comes into the room, do we give Him our attention? Or do we choose to ignore? When He comes closer to us, do we choose to put our focus elsewhere? Or do we give Him our focus? And do we engage in the conversation that He wants to have with us? When He takes it even a step further, and when the Creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who spoke the world into existence, when He leans in to me and wants to embrace me, do I resist? Do I pull away? Or am I vulnerable to His embrace? And I respond in kind, and I give Him my embrace. I give Him my heart. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 16. Okay, so again, are we vulnerable or susceptible to the presence of God? When He comes near, we won't resist. We're vulnerable to Him. We actually welcome Him. And I just want to point out that this is who we are here at CLCC. We are a company of people that, by our core values, we define ourselves as those that are vulnerable and susceptible to His presence. I mean, if you've ever checked out one of these little half sheets, I think there's some on a pile in the hallway there. Number three is, we pursue the presence of God, leading to personal encounters. We are hungry for the presence of God. We welcome the presence of God. We welcome the move of His Spirit. We know, we've tasted and we've seen that He is good. We've experienced that He does all things well. We welcome, we pursue the presence of God. And this is who we are as part of Elam Fellowship. Many of you know that we're affiliated with this group called Elam Fellowship. Listen to this. The vision statement for Elam Fellowship is, this is who Elam Fellowship says they are. And consequently, this is who we say we are. We are a Christ-centered, worldwide revival fellowship. We are a Christ-centered, worldwide revival fellowship. We are revivalists, right? And that doesn't mean we just schedule a week once a year and we have revival. No, it means that we pursue the presence of God. We are vulnerable and susceptible to His presence, to His love, to His goodness. And out of that experience with this powerful, loving God, we bring revival to places where we go. Amen? We are revivalists. We set fires. We start fires. We start fires of revival. What do you mean? We're pyromaniacs? We're arsonists? In a sense, yes, we are. Not literally. We don't go out and do things illegal. I'm not saying that, okay? Well, Pastor Kurt told us all today we're arsonists, so who's got the gasoline? Let's go have a party. No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, in our pursuit of the presence of God, as those who are vulnerable and susceptible to His presence and His love, we encounter Him, we experience Him, and out of those encounters and experiences, we go, and as we have freely received, we freely give it to others. We share that
We bring revival to people and to places where we go. It's who we are. It's our identity, right? Let's just be who we are. Matthew 16. Are you guys there? Okay, I'll get there in just a minute. You guys with me so far?
Yep.
Oh. I really feel like the Lord wants to do something powerful this morning. Let's be open to what He wants to do. Amen. Let's respond to what He wants to do in our hearts, to what He wants to do in our lives, to what He wants to do in this house. Amen. Not just this morning, but every day of our lives. Jesus says a few things to His disciples that gets our attention. In Matthew 16, and we'll start in verse 24, it says, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" And then He says this interesting statement. He says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Isn't that interesting? Is that counter to how our natural minds think? It's a good thing for me to save myself, to save myself from harm, to save myself from inconvenience, to save myself from financial ruin, to save myself from fill in the blank. Isn't it a good thing for me to save myself? And Jesus says, whoever seeks to save his life will actually lose it. And the opposite is true. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Can I just say this morning, some of us, we just need to lose our life. Can I just be bold and just put it out there? Some of us need to lose our life for His sake. I need to lose my life for His sake. He's faithful to teach me and give me opportunities to do that. To put His preference above my preference. To put His will above my will. Because whenever in this relationship with this powerful God who I am vulnerable and susceptible to, when I put my focus on Him rather than self, I'm actually able to be who I really am. I'm able to be the best version of myself when I put myself in that position. Does that make sense? When I lose my life for His sake, that's the best version of me I can be. Because I'm focused on Him. I'm focused on His preference. I'm focused on His will. Amen? Let's back up just a little bit and see why Jesus was even saying this in the first place. And I think many are familiar with this passage. If you go back just a couple of verses to verse 21, chapter 16 of Matthew. From that time, Jesus began to show His disciples this transition that He was going to be going through. Okay? He began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Now, why did He begin to show these things to His disciples? Did He just wake up one morning and say, "Huh, I think this is what I'm going to do"? No, remember, this is Jesus who only says those things that He hears the Father say. He only does those things that He sees His Father do. So we can conclude from that, that out of His relationship with the Father, Father spoke these things to His heart. And because He is one, Jesus, who is vulnerable and susceptible to the will of the Father, He steps out in obedience to it. Was it His preference? No. We clearly see that in the Garden of Gethsemane. What did He pray? "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. This isn't what I want. This is not my preference. This isn't my idea of a fun day, right? Yeah. And how many of us have the same attitude towards God at times? Look, I'm not saying this in condemnation. I'm saying this with us. Sometimes I don't have a great attitude with the Lord. And I think my preferences are more important than His preferences. Who? But that's not what Jesus modeled for us. He modeled for us God's preference, God's will, is very much more a priority to me than even my own preference and will. And so He begins to share this with His disciples. And then a crazy thing happens in the next verse. And it is almost absurd to think of this, right? And yet, how many of us have been in Peter's shoes ourselves? Verse 22, then Peter took him aside. Who did he take aside? Jesus. So Peter, hey, Jesus, come here. I got to have a little five-minute talk with you. Come here. Will you come here? I gotta speak some correction into your life, okay? I don't want to embarrass you in front of the other guys. So would you come here and can we have a little powwow here for 5 minutes? Is it absurd to think? But isn't that exactly what he was doing? And isn't that exactly what we do at times? Oh. But we're in a process, and He's changing us. And we have opportunities along the way to make decisions to be more vulnerable, more susceptible to His will, to His presence, to His love, to be transformed more and more into the image of His Son Jesus. Right? And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Really? Saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Peter was declaring some stuff that day, wasn't he? Peter was out of his mind that day, wasn't he? Have you ever been there? Looking back, we don't realize it in the moment, but looking back, what was I thinking? I was out of my mind. Really? I was going to tell God how to do it better than what I thought it should be done? I was out of my mind. And Jesus just had a beautiful, flowery response to him, didn't he? Oh, he was just so, yeah, warm fuzzies all over. Verse 23, but he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Oh, that pulled the slack out, didn't it? Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. Here's the reason why. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but you're mindful of the things of you, the things of men. Was in Peter's mind, his thinking, boy, this thing, we're really getting some momentum here. And Jesus is really, you know, having more influence. And he's very become prominent in the hearts of the people. And you know, we're occupied by an enemy, by Rome. Could it be that he's going to overthrow this enemy that we have in our nation, and he's going to establish our own government? Could that have been his thinking? Sure. It absolutely could have been. Honestly, think about it. Israel is being occupied by Rome. They're not a sovereign nation at this point, right? They have another nation, another empire that kind of calls the shots. How would we feel if we were in their shoes? Right? Oh my gosh. There'd be pitchforks and, you know, we'd be doing some stuff, right? We'd be rebelling. And so I'm not finding fault, except that his preference didn't line up with the preference that Jesus was sharing with them. Right? And sometimes we have very good ideas. We have very good intentions. But where the rubber meets the road is, when my preferences don't line up with His will, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What are we going to do? We are those who are vulnerable to His presence. We are susceptible to His will. And so when those times come, what we will do is we will lay aside our will. And we will say, nevertheless, like Jesus did, not mine, but your will. I've been through some stuff with you, Jesus. I know that you're faithful. I know that you're trustworthy. And even in the midst of this, it does not make sense to me. But I trust you, Lord. I'm vulnerable to your will. I'm susceptible to what you want to do in the midst of this. Amen? That's what we're going to do. Turn it over to Psalms 57. Oh, quarter after 11. I thought it was 5 till 3. I was like, what? I didn't preach that long, did I? Well, Pastor Steve told me, Kurt, whatever you do this morning, don't preach past 2:30. So I'm gonna submit to his headship, his leadership. So I'm not going past 2:30, I promise. So I got almost 3 hours here yet. No, just kidding. So Psalm 57. I don't know if your Bible has this or not, but mine has like a brief like summary or description of each of the Psalms, of many of the Psalms. And so in Psalm 57, it says, prayer for safety from enemies. And then below it, it says, to the chief musician, set to, do not destroy, a Mitchum of David. It says, when he fled from Saul into the cave. When he fled from Saul into the cave. Flip over, if you will, to 1 Samuel 22 real quick, and then we'll come back and read Psalm 57. So, 1 Samuel 22. Here, I'll help you out. It's on page 426, okay? Oh, sorry, my bad. If you have the Jack Hayford Study Bible from, what's the copyright year on this? 91. It's on page 426. And how many of you know David went through some stuff? He went through some stuff. He was the king of Israel, eventually. But it didn't happen overnight. He went through some stuff. He went through some struggles. He went through, literally, some life-threatening situations. He could have died along the way. You know? If Saul was a little more accurate with that spear, right? So this is one of those times when he's on the run, when he's in the midst of a challenge. So 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, it says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Verse 2, and everyone who is in distress, everyone who is in debt, and everyone who is discontented gathered to him. This was some party they had, huh? So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. You know, that word discontented means bitter of soul in the Hebrew. Bitter of soul. So what do we have here? We have David on the run, fearing for his life. His family comes to join him, and then all these other people, everyone who is in distress, everyone who is in debt, right? Everyone who was bitter of soul, who was discontented, gathered to him. And there's about 400 people like this. Maybe that's how you feel this morning. Maybe you're going through some stuff. Maybe you're in debt. Maybe you're discontented. You're bitter of soul. Maybe you're in distress. You're in a good place. You're in a good place. Because can I announce to you that I know someone that can help you in the midst of that. I know someone who has helped me when I have been in the midst of those challenges as well. And I'm not alone in that. You're among a company of people who have had very similar experiences to me. And we are those who are vulnerable to the presence of God. Because we know He's trustworthy. He's faithful. We are susceptible to His will. You're in a good place this morning. It may feel like you're in a hole in the ground. You're in the best place you could be. In His presence. With His children who are believing that God's going to do something in the midst of that cave. In the midst of the cave. In the midst of, maybe you feel like that's the last place where I want to be, is in this cave right now with all these other people. You know? You're in a good place. You're in a good place. And let's flip back to Psalm 57. Psalm 57 was written as a result of David going through that experience. Oh, come on. Songwriters, as is typical for them, when they go through an experience, good, bad, great, not so great, they will usually write a song about it. And that's what David did. From this place of being in this cave, from this place of being distressed and being in debt and being bitter of soul, that's the place where this beautiful psalm comes from. From the place of his suffering, from the place of his questions, from the place of it doesn't make sense, from the place of, God, you spoke to my heart that you wanted to do this, and it looks like the absolute opposite is happening in my life. From that place, he wrote Psalm 57. From that place, he wrote, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you." David is declaring some things in this psalm. "And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge. I have tasted, Lord. I have seen that you're good. I've seen your faithfulness in my life. I've seen that you're trustworthy. And I will, in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge." Listen, until these calamities have passed, until they pass, these things that I'm facing right now, they are temporary. The things that you're facing right now, they are temporary. These calamities will pass. David is encouraging our hearts this morning. These calamities will pass. And verse 2, he says, "I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me." I'm not trusting in the things that I see. I'm not trusting in the situation. I'm not trusting in the stories I'm hearing from these 400 people who are distressed and in debt and bitter of soul. I'm trusting in the King of Kings. I am vulnerable to His love. "He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up." Look, He's for me. Who can be against me? "God shall send forth His mercy and His truth." And then He just kind of gives us a glimpse of what He's in the midst of. "My soul is among lions." I'm not just sticking my head in the sand and trying to ignore the situation. There's some real stuff that's going on around me, right? And I'm not trying to deny what's going on. "My soul is among lions. I lie among sons of men who are set on fire." And they want to set me on fire. "Whose teeth are spears and arrows." The words that they're saying, look, "and their tongue a sharp sword." The things that they say are cutting and biting and piercing. They're spreading stuff about me that's not true. Maybe you feel that same way this morning. Don't deny the situation that you're in, but don't stop there either, because you're susceptible to His power. You're vulnerable to a move of God in your life. You're a revivalist. You're a revivalist. You start fires where you go with the fire of God. Amen? Amen. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens." So we get that short glimpse of what He's going through, and then He's right back to praise. He's right back to, "My focus is on you, Lord. My focus is on your preference. I wouldn't have chosen to go through this miserable situation, but obviously you're in this, and so I'm focusing on you." Until these calamities have passed, they're not going to stay here. "So be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth." Look, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Now he starts to prophesy his own deliverance from this situation. He says, into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Look, this pit that these people that are coming against me, the pit that they've dug for me to destroy me and put me in, they're going to fall into it themselves. Because I'm vulnerable to a move of God in my life. I'm susceptible to His deliverance, even from this situation that I'm facing. And so it is for all of us. Amen? And then, this last part. This must have just been blasting from his heart. He says, my heart is steadfast. David has made some decisions. He's made some choices at this point. It looks like hell right now, but look, this is where my faith is. This is where my focus is. My heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awake in the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. For your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. How did David feel when he made that declaration? It looks crazy right now, and I don't understand it, but this is where my focus is. Ha! I'm susceptible to a move of God in my life. Miracles, signs, and wonders are just like chomping at the bit to break out in my life. And so it is with us as well. So it is with us as well. Because we are those who are vulnerable and susceptible to His presence, to His love. The way He touches our spirit, the way He lifts our heart, the way He heals our body. We're susceptible to that. We're vulnerable to that. That's who we are. That's who we are. So I just want to end our time this morning, and I feel like I'm to give an invitation. And we have a great worship song that we're going to put on. We just played this at Encounter Night a couple of nights ago, which was amazing again. I mean, His presence just keeps increasing and increasing. And we have people from other churches coming now. They're engaged in prayer. And it's pretty good, Nance, huh? Yeah. We must have had about, 14 people, something like that? Yeah. And God just keeps growing. So we're going to do this worship song. It's called Worthy by Elevation Worship. And here's the invitation. It's for anyone who wants to make the decision this morning, I'm choosing to be more vulnerable to His presence. I'm choosing to be more susceptible to His love, to His power, to Him moving through my life. When He walks in the room, I won't ignore Him. I will engage with Him. I will respond to Him. When He smiles at me, I'm going to smile back at Him. When He waves at me, I'm waving back at Him. When He comes near me and wants to engage me in conversation, I'm making the decision today. Maybe I've ignored Him in the past, and other things have been a priority to me. I'm making the decision, the choice today, that I'm not going to look away. I'm going to engage Him. I'm declaring today, I am vulnerable to His presence. And when He leans in to embrace me, come on. I am quick to lean into Him and to embrace Him and to give Him my embrace, to give Him my heart, to give Him my love. Amen? So that's the invitation. And there is it's called a bridge in this song. And I think the lyric goes, be exalted now in the heavens. Let your glory fill this place. You alone deserve all praise. You're the name above all names. Which comes from Psalm 57, verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. And so for those of us who are in the midst of something challenging, I just want to encourage us to make that declaration. Things are crazy all around me, but be exalted in my heart. Be exalted in my situation. Be exalted in this cave that I feel like I'm in right now. Because I am vulnerable to you, Lord. Your preferences are a priority over mine. I wouldn't choose to be here right now, but you're here with me, and that makes it all right. Amen? So if you all stand with me, you can start that, Andrew or Ashton. And I just want to pray, and then this will go for a bit. If you need to go, you're dismissed. But for those who want to stay and linger in His presence, I invite you to come and to encounter and experience and be vulnerable to His presence. Amen? So Lord, we just set aside this time for You right now to be vulnerable, to be susceptible to You, to meet with You. Hallelujah.
It was my cross You bore, so I could live in the freedom You died for.
Hallelujah.
Now my life is Yours, and I will sing of Your goodness forevermore. Worthy is Your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is Your name.
Let's be those who are bold this morning. Let's not be timid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You deserve the praise.
Yes.